This is your call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to get an update on the COVID vaccine rollout here in California. Because we've had so many questions around this, we decided to do an update every Thursday at 10:40 to take your questions about the vaccine and your experience. If you have any questions right now, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. According to the LA Times tracker, more than 6.2 million shots have been administered in the state. That is about 12% of the population who have received at least one dose. 76% of the state's available supply has been used so far. Joining us again is Anna Maria Berry Jester, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News and California Healthline, where she covers public health. Hi, Anna Maria. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Hi, Rose. Great to talk with you.
Well, great to have you. So the last couple times we talked about California getting off to a rough start, but it looks like we're in much better shape now. We're still in phase 1B, which includes people 65 and older, educators, childcare providers, emergency service workers, and food and agriculture workers. Just give us an update. What has really changed over the past few weeks?
Yeah, there's a lot more shots going into arms every week, which is great news. There are a huge number of new sites where people can get vaccinated, vaccines coming in from new ways from the federal government directly to some pharmacies and that kind of thing. There's a couple of mass vaccination sites that the federal government set up. There are also lots of mass vaccination sites that have been set up in various counties and by various providers. So all of that's really great. Unfortunately, things are still pretty confusing. You know, according to the state, the list of people who can get vaccinated is healthcare workers, people in long-term care facilities, everyone 65 and up, and then people who work in these sectors you just mentioned, like agriculture, food, education, childcare, and emergency services. But not all counties are doing all of those groups yet because they don't have enough vaccine supply. So there are a few counties that just opened eligibility to people 65 and up. A few counties, including Santa Clara and San Francisco, have said they will open up eligibility to people in agriculture, food, education, childcare, emergency services. But then to make things even more confusing, individual health systems and providers are making vaccines available to slightly different groups from that as well. So it's a little bit tricky for people to figure out. But if you're in any of those groups, it is a good time to be paying attention and trying to get an appointment.
Can you tell us what's happening with the second shot? Because I know two people who were supposed to get their second shot yesterday, and they got a message saying, sorry, it's not here. We're going to have to reschedule your appointment.
There have been some, I'm not sure if this is what happened with those specific people, but there have been some delays due to all the weather problems around the country in getting vaccines into the counties and the providers. They've had some delays, some significant delays this week. And so this actually kind of illustrates one of the points the counties have been making, which is that they want to, you know, get the vaccines out as soon as they come, but they also don't want to have to cancel on people. And so some counties are waiting and not really making appointments until they have the vaccine in hand. Other counties are going ahead and scheduling based on what they think they're going to get. And then sometimes there are these supply delays. And so, this is happening all over the country, but there are places where they're only doing second shots right now because of vaccine supply delays, and then other places where they're having to cancel sometimes.
And are we learning any new information about when the second shot is needed, or can it be flexible?
What a great question, and a subject of huge debate among experts. It's really one of these rare things where I feel like there's a huge division among public health experts. Some people want to take the approach that the UK has kind of taken, where you give as many people as possible a first dose because we know there is at least some effect of the first dose. But right now, the US is strongly, and by the US, I mean the federal government, the CDC, the groups that are in charge of sort of making these decisions, are strongly standing behind going ahead with the data we have from the studies that were done. So that means getting the second dose of vaccine either 3 or 4 weeks after your initial dose, depending on which vaccine you get, and trying to go ahead with that route. And part of the argument there is that it's really people 75 and older who are really at the most risk for COVID, for having serious illness or even dying. And so that group is being prioritized already. And that's been a big part of the reason they want to just stick to what we know about how the vaccines work and do the two doses.
And it's been interesting to follow what's happening with Johnson & Johnson, because that vaccine is expected to be authorized for emergency use by the first week in March. A lot of people say they were going to wait for that one because it's one dose, but the New York Post is reporting today that Johnson & Johnson's vaccine could end up being in a two-dose regimen if it proves to offer more protection than one. This is according to Andy Slavitt, a senior advisor to the White House's COVID response team.
That's right. I mean, these vaccines have been in the pipeline for not very long, and we're still learning a lot about them. So even though we have these early studies and you hear this news about the vaccines, there's a lot that we learn as we go. There's a lot of excitement about the J&J vaccine because it could be one dose, but and also because it's another vaccine, right? It increases our supply. But it's still going to be a couple of months before we'd have very large amounts of the J&J vaccine. And as you said, things could change, which unfortunately might mean everyone having to pay close attention yet again to sort of understand how that rolls out.
California is also in the process of transferring control of vaccine distribution from local health departments to Blue Shield of California. We briefly talked about this last time you were on. Can you give us an update on this and what will change because of it?
Yeah, I'm only laughing because that was 2 weeks ago, and fortunately still there's a lot to know. There was a contract that was released on Monday to sort of illustrate, outline a little bit more what that relationship is supposed to look like, but it's still quite confusing what it will mean. We don't yet know. So the idea is that Blue Shield is going to manage the allocation of the vaccine and also the data, and they're having big problems with the data at the state. What's not known, which is sort of the most important thing for, you know, people out there trying to get a vaccine, is who the providers are going to be that are going to get vaccine, and how much will go to each of those providers and in which parts of the state. So we still don't know those things. They had said initially that this relationship would roll out on February 15th. It did in the form of a contract, but it hasn't actually taken over the system that we have right now, which is about 80% of vaccines go through the counties and 20% go directly to some of the big healthcare providers. And then the counties, you know, give out vaccines to various providers. So that system is still in place for now.
Anna Maria Berry-Jester is senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News and California Healthline. Every Thursday at 10:40, we are going to bring you an update on the COVID vaccine rollout in California. If you have any questions, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Let's hear from Jan in Albany. Hi, Jan. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. I'm calling to ask for a definition of child care workers. Does it include just people that work at a child care center? For example, my daughter has a problem with her immune system, and they have to take their child to work with them, and it would really be a good, or should qualify for an earlier shot than maybe 2 months out.
Thank you. Anna Maria?
Yeah, it's a great question. The definitions of these groups have been, you know, this is a great question. They are trying to open it up for people who care for children in various settings. It definitely includes people in, you know, child care facilities, but it does expand beyond that. So we need to know more about your specific example, but it is open up to other people as well. That they are trying to understand that child care happens in a wide range of formats and it is not just in sort of a, you know, large formal setting. And so there are people included in that group.
Do you know where Jan can go to get more information?
Yeah, the Department of the California Department of Public Health, certainly there. But what I have heard from a lot of counties is that they sort of get these questions on a case-by-case basis, and then they take them to the state and ask. So your county health department is probably the best place to ask right now.
All right. I hope that helps you, Jan. And we are going to do this every Thursday. So thanks for calling. Let's go next to Marty in San Francisco. Hi, Marty. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I just have a comment. I got my first shot, and they give you the address, but when they tell you the address, they never tell you the cross street.
They give you the address, but they don't tell you the cross street.
Yeah. Like, where I went to Turk.
Did you get the information from someone over the phone?
Nope. I did it online.
Oh, okay. Well, you can use MapQuest if you just type in the address.
And I did.
Oh, and you couldn't find the cross street?
I'm not real good with that stuff, for one.
I understand.
And, it would just be helpful, that's all.
Yeah.
Give you an address, that they give you a cross street.
Right.
You know?
That's a good point. And Marty, I hear you. We've been talking about people who either aren't using computers or, you know, don't know about MapQuest, for example. And we've been bringing this up every time you're on, Anna Maria. What is being done for people who don't have computers or are not familiar with all of these different websites?
Yeah, it's such a great point. You know, our relationship with cities and places changes generationally. And like you said, cross streets used to be the main way that people would talk about how to get around a city, right? And so I think it's such a fair criticism. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of great news on that front. I mean, still, you know, a lot of this stuff is done online. A lot of it is on county websites, state websites, these kinds of things, you know, even with healthcare providers. A lot of healthcare providers are calling people and helping them get appointments that way. And there are phone lines, but there are really long waits. One thing I have heard is that if you speak another language other than English, and there's a helpline in that language, the wait times can be significantly less. So if you're a Spanish speaker and an English speaker, it might be beneficial to try calling the Spanish line. It is unfortunately just requires a lot of patience at this point because it's not a great system if you're not super used to doing everything on your phone or your computer.
Yeah. And Marty, thank you for calling because we need to hear from you just to remind those who are making the decisions and the healthcare workers who are doing an amazing job, but just to remember that not everybody is online or uses these different websites. So thank you for that important reminder. I also wanted to ask you about people with disabilities and compromised immune systems. This has been an interesting one because I have a cousin in Santa Rosa who has a compromised immune system, and she got a call right away. She already got both of her shots, and she's young. I have a friend in San Francisco who has a compromised immune system. She hasn't heard from any of her health providers, and she's really concerned. So it still seems like it depends on where you live. There's a very different system.
Yeah, it's partly where you live and also partly who your provider is. So there is a lot of leeway for providers to prioritize people they think really need the vaccine for different reasons. And that means some providers are more proactive in calling people up and looking at those things. I know lots of people who've gotten vaccinated because they got a call from their doctor and they said, we have a slot for you. And that was sometimes because of age and sometimes because of their health conditions. But as you said, there's lots of people who maybe their providers are not doing that. There's a lot of people who don't even if they have health issues, don't have a strong relationship with the provider. Sometimes you move, you know, there's all these reasons that you can not have that kind of relationship with a doctor. And that does make it trickier for people in those situations. And it is really frustrating for people because you hear stories of people who are perfectly healthy and 35 years old getting vaccinated at the same time that there are people with really serious concerns that are having a harder time getting an appointment scheduled.
The state announced that people ages 16 to 64 with severe underlying medical conditions will be eligible. People with disabilities will be eligible, but not until March 15th. So we've got just about 2 minutes left. What else can you tell us about this? And what are the challenges ahead with this tier?
Right. This is all just a question of trying to figure out what to do with the limited supply we have. And so the state has said it won't be until March 15th. But if what's happened so far, you know, it's hard to say because of this change with Blue Shield taking over. But if things hold true, then it might be even after March 15th that people are actually eligible for that if the supply isn't there to sort of open things up. So it's we all just have to keep paying attention. We can keep having this conversation because it is sort of changing week to week. But yes, it's true that they did open up eligibility for a wider range of groups and gave doctors more leeway to determine which of their patients they think should be prioritized for the vaccine.
And then the other question is, depending on a provider, the provider might be in touch. But what about those who maybe don't have a provider right now and are in this category?
Yeah, so currently the counties are have the vast majority of the vaccine. That'll change when Blue Shield takes over, and it'll be more with the providers. And those lists should be, you know, we hope that they would be available and easy to figure out who they are. Those providers will provide the vaccine to everyone, regardless of their ability to pay, regardless of whether or not they're a Blue Shield customer. It's supposed to, you know, everyone that's going to be able to be vaccinated at these sites, the state says. So but whether or not, you know, there will be tricks and sort of trying to figure out how to get onto the list is a great question. One thing I will say is I know a lot of people who've managed to get vaccinated by getting on waiting lists for people who are no-shows for appointments. And that's one thing you can try with your own provider or with even if you've seen a specialist or somebody who's in another network, that I know a lot of people have had success that way.
Anna Maria Berry-Jester is senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News and California Healthline. She covers public health. Thank you again so much for joining us, Anna Maria.
Thanks, Rose.
Thank you. Every Thursday, we will be talking about the vaccine at 10:40. We'll also continue to do entire shows about the vaccine, but we just want to be sure to bring you the latest on a weekly basis. Thanks to Leah Cesarine for producing today's show. Thanks to Joanne Marr for engineering our show. And coming up tomorrow, we will discuss a new investigation by the nation's Tim Schwab called Bill Gates, Climate Warrior, and Super Emitter. He asks, when will the media realize with Bill Gates, you have to follow the money? We will also discuss the historic unionization efforts by Amazon workers at a warehouse in Alabama. If workers vote yes, it will be the first Amazon warehouse in the United States to unionize. If you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can email us, yourcall@kalw.org. Visit yourcallradio.org to listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.